Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. This week, I'll be talking with Dr. Doug Graham, author of The 80-10-10 Diet and Nutrition and Athletic Performance. Doug, a former doctor of chiropractor, has spent 35 years coaching and training athletes to maximize their performance. And as a chiropractor, he also worked with people who had lost their health by providing them with a total system for regaining and maintaining their health and vitality. And you know, so often I find that people work to shift old patterns rooted in their past, but they seem to reach a ceiling in terms of what they want to give to life and receive from their life. And I feel that the cause for this ceiling is that often we ignore the profound effect food, water, and sun have on how we think and feel. Physical health and a high level of vitality are part of the foundation stone for a creative, loving, and empowered life. And Dr. Doug Graham, I think, will fill in some gaps that we may have in these areas. You know, you may not choose to jump in feet first into his program for super health, but at least you will come away from today's dialogue with an understanding that will probably start you in the direction of some important changes. And after all, these shows are about making a positive difference in our own lives and the lives of others. So welcome, Dr. Doug, to Living in Tune.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Dr. Doug is speaking from England, so it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. So, Dr. Doug, before going into your personal story, I'd love to start by looking at some of the myths we've been taught as facts rather than as opinions. And you know, in the China study, the researchers found that cancer rates were 5 to 8 times higher in areas where fruit intake was the lowest. And yet so many people say they can't eat fruit, or the sugar in fruit is bad for you, or if you have diabetes or cancer or candida, you need to avoid fruit. What's your answer to this one?
Well, that was a complex question, but let me try to break it into parts. First of all, what I find is a tremendous number of people do suffer from digestive problems. They've weakened their digestive system through eating poorly over a long period of time, and through other lifestyle abuse that literally weakened their vitality or lowered their vitality, including their ability to digest. As far as digesting fruit, fruit is the easiest of all foods to digest. It's absorbed in under the tongue. It's absorbed in the digestive tract without requiring digestion for the water in fruit, the sugar in fruit, the minerals and vitamins are all absorbed as is. They require no processing. And so fruit is actually the easiest of all foods to digest. As far as perhaps not using fruit if you have diabetes, well, certainly the Diabetes Foundation says that diabetics should be able to eat all the fruit they care for. The AMA says that the cause of diabetes is the overconsumption of fat, and they've held that policy and used that plan for over 50 years. At the same time, the Cancer Society says eat all the fruits and vegetables that you care for, as does the Heart Foundation. The odd thing is we all know people with cancer, but no one knows anyone with cancer who got it from eating fruit. The same with diabetes. We all know people with diabetes, but no one knows anyone with diabetes who got it from eating fruit. Therefore, if fruit didn't cause these conditions, it seems almost ludicrous to think that not consuming fruit would be helpful in curing these conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So then to clarify, what's the difference between fruit sugar? You know, people, again, they talk about sugar as though it's all the same. So there's fruit sugar, and then there's also sugar extracted from sugar cane and beets, and you even see healthy candy bars that have cane juice extracts. What is the difference between all these various sugars?
Well, in fact, sugar is sugar is sugar, and I know that's not the answer you were expecting. The sugars are all the same. The difference is the nutrients that support those sugars, because sugar isn't used in an isolated fashion in the body. In fact, all nutrients interact with at least 8 others, and those 8 with 64 more, and those 64 with whatever it is, another 500. Mm-hmm. And so the ratio of each nutrient to those others is as important as the nutrient themselves. Therefore, when we take in specific types of sugars, we refer to them as whole foods. And when we take in other types of sugars, we refer to the calories as empty calories, the calories that have been stripped of their associated nutrients. And so when we look at, for instance, the refined sugars, then we're looking at empty calories, or at least partially empty calories, depends how refined it's been, where all of us understand and appreciate that whole foods are more nutritious than their refined counterparts. What happens in the world of nutrition is that most people know most of what they need to know, but they've been taught and learned to live with a contradiction between what they know and how they actually live. And so we accept the refined foods, even though we know that whole foods are more nutritious.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, with something like, let's say, white sugar, the research has shown that when it's a total poison on the body and actually depletes the bones of calcium and things like that.
This is a myth. Sugar is sugar is sugar. What happens is that the refined sugar taken without its associated nutrients still requires those nutrients in order to be processed. And so, yes, you will see a loss of calcium from the bones, but it's not because the sugar did it. It was because the sugar didn't come with the calcium that you would normally find in fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the sugar itself is a white poison. This is part of the problem, is that inaccuracies lead to misunderstandings. And once you've, especially in the world of science, in the world of nutrition, where we've heard it all, we get to a point where we really don't know what to believe.
Yes.
And so I don't play with words, but I try to be extremely accurate in my wording.
That's right. And I think one of the problems is that people don't realize that our whole energy source comes from glucose, which is a sugar.
Well, again, our energy comes from sleep. It's generated in our brain. And every night at the end of the day, you get to a point where you're just out of energy, and you go to sleep, and you wake up with more energy. Sugar is actually fuel, and it's the fuel that fuels every cell of the body. So we could say that the sugar is like gas in your tank, whereas the brain produces the energy, which is like the battery of your car.
Mm. So that's interesting. I'd like to just kind of go a little bit more on that. So you're saying that when we go to sleep, the brain is basically recharging the nervous system.
The brain is recharging the nervous system 24 hours a day. However, when we're awake, it's recharging at a rate that is slower than the rate at which we're using.
Mm-hmm.
When we're asleep, we're actually generating still at the same pace as always, but we're not using as fast, and so we actually begin to accumulate.
And how do you see the brain as recharging us during sleep?
The brain generates low voltage electricity, and the nervous system runs off of this electricity.
Fascinating, isn't it? Gosh, we could go into a long conversation just on that one. But
yes.
Anyway, we're just kind of whetting the appetite with this dialogue today. And so your 80-10-10 book emphasizes that 80% of our calories should come from carbohydrates. So what are the different carbs, the simple carbohydrates, the complex carbohydrates, and why do people say that their blood type doesn't allow them to eat carbs?
Well, there's actually 4 kinds of carbohydrates. But before that, I would say the 80-10-10 diet doesn't actually recommend a diet where 80% of calories come from carbohydrates. 80% is the minimum. We never actually really wish to go that low. Mm-hmm. By the time you drop down to 80, you have hit you've hit the edge of the target, and you're about to go completely off target. I'm actually recommending more than 80 or greater than 80% of your total calories mm-hmm. come from carbohydrates. As we mentioned, there's four kinds. There's refined carbohydrates, and there's whole food sources of carbohydrates. There's simple, and there's complex. So there's simple whole foods, as found in fruits, and then there's simple refined sugars, as found in candy or alcohol or things of this nature. Mm-hmm. The same thing with complex carbohydrates. There's simple, and there's refined and there's whole complex carbohydrates. The whole complex carbohydrates technically cannot be digested well until they have been cooked. At that point, there's question as to whether or not they are still whole foods because they've been changed so dramatically. The water has been driven off of them, and the caloronutrients have been changed. The carbohydrates are caramelized, the vitamins and minerals, over 99.9% of the vitamins and minerals are damaged, deranged, and destroyed. Mm-hmm. At that point, whether or not a cooked food is technically a whole food, but if we were to say that it was, then a baked potato would be a whole food source of complex carbohydrates, and a piece of bread would be a refined source of complex mm-hmm. carbohydrates.
And then what, your grains, rice and millet and things like that, all complex carbohydrates?
These are all complex carbohydrates. They can't be eaten in their whole, fresh, ripe, raw, organic mm-hmm. state. They can't be eaten as found in nature. They must be cooked in order to be consumed, which certainly makes them questionable in terms of a food source.
And what if
they're absent in vitamin C? Part of the problem, I think, one of the big problems that people have with nutrition is that we've been fed a couple of contradicting lies, and we're sort of in a position where we don't know how to sort out. It's like a big ball of string. You don't know how to get all the knots out at once. It seems overwhelming, so you just don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, we're not designed to consume cooked foods. There's no creature that does so. I'm not telling you, as you said earlier, people don't have to jump in with both feet, although a tremendous number of people do, and they find it the easiest of all transitions. The long, slow, drawn-out transition is just a long, slow, frustrating process.
That's right.
But we're not designed to consume cooked foods. There's no model in nature of any creature doing so. No reason to think that we were supposed to, and certainly we know that throughout all of the origins of mankind, we were not consuming cooked foods, and yet we survived into our present form.
Yeah, so basically we can survive on anything, but that's very different from living.
There's a big difference between surviving and thriving.
That's
and
right.
I'm all about thriving.
That's right. Good, we'll come back in a few moments, and we'll be back very soon.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. If you want to create positive change, call Chloe now at 866-472-5795. That toll-free number again is 866-472-5795. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Yes, so Dr. Doug, we're back with you now talking about the 80-10-10 and that it's 80% minimum. We want to be having 80% of our food from a natural carbohydrate source, a minimum of 80%. Now, you were saying that it's unnatural for us to be eating cooked foods. How long have you been on nothing but raw foods?
Well, I started the raw food diet 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't figure out how to make it work for myself to a point where I could stay on raw food and eat raw food only until almost 22, 23 years ago. It took a while of figuring. It took a while of frustration
yes.
as I banged my head against the wall of the more traditional raw approaches.
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many people who've tried raw foods. They said, oh, yes, I did that 20, 30, 40 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. A lot of people have tried it, but they didn't stay with it because they couldn't find a system of eating raw that worked for them.
Yes, which is really what the 80-10-10 is all about.
Well, it's the largest growing portion of the raw movement, and it's got the people who've been doing it the longest time. We've got people now who've been following 80-10-10 for 20 years, and
yes.
and it's just growing with every day.
And you've got people on it who are big-time athletes.
Well, we've had the sickest of the sick and the wellest of the well, and
yeah.
everything in between.
Yeah.
What we find is that athletes are drawn to anything that they hope will give them an edge or an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly they have access to the same training as all the other athletes, and they have access to the same gear as all the other athletes. But if they're willing to make a modification in their lifestyle or their food style, mm-hmm. well, then they have a chance to do something that other athletes simply aren't willing to do.
Because they have, more energy and they recover more quickly.
And it takes less fuel to utilize the fuel they consume, so they get more use from their food.
Ah, yes. Okay, so I want to try to get this very kind of rock bottom here. So if we're having a minimum of 80% of our calories in carbs, how much fruit and greens do we need in order to get this 80% minimum?
Well, it's interesting. It's a very good question. And the challenge I think most people have here is that they don't have a role model. They don't know anyone who lives this kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, we're starting to meet them. They're becoming more common.
Yeah.
This is a growing movement. What we see is that we've known forever that fruits and vegetables are considered health foods, that fruits and vegetables are the most nutritious foods, that we are designed to consume fruits and vegetables. They're good for us. In fact, most people call them the best for us.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that are we supposed to eat? How much of the best are we supposed to get? Well, it's all supposed to be the best. That's the answer, Chloe. We're designed to eat fruits and vegetables.
Yes.
All the fruits you care for, all the vegetables you want, to the exclusion of everything else, because fruits and vegetables are satisfying your every need. If they're not, well, then you'll find yourself eating other foods because you didn't eat enough fruits and vegetables.
Yes, but no, for instance, with me, I'm on the raw diet and I do the 80-10-10, but I get thin, you know. I am definitely, you know, thinner than I was when I had cooked food. Is that because I'm just not eating enough fruit and veggies?
Well, I don't know how much you weigh, so it's difficult to say.
Yeah, I'm about
getting
I'm
thinner was needed or not. Most people, if they could find a way to get thinner and healthier at the same time, would jump on it.
Yeah, well, I'm totally healthy, and I have energy from early morning till late at night. And, you know, I'm 115 pounds, and I'm 5'10", so I'm, you know, tall and thin.
Yes, it's it sounds like you're a world-class model. In fact, if we look at the athletes, we find that you're built about like them. If we look at models, we find that you're actually built about like them.
Yeah.
The problem here, I think, is that we've gotten so used to seeing heavy people that heavy people have come to become the norm. And when someone looks at someone who isn't overtly fat, we say, oh, wow, you're skinny.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound like a compliment, when in reality it should be a compliment. Wow, you're skinny. That's
yes.
a compliment. You go, thank you very much. You know, I've earned this. This didn't come easily. In fact, with the 80-10-10 approach, it does come easily. Are you not eating enough? If you're not able to hold your weight at some point, then you're not eating enough.
Mm.
If you wish to gain, most people don't wish to gain fat. They wish to gain muscle. And there's no diet that will do that. If you want to gain muscle, you have to do the exercise.
Yes, I think that's probably what it is. It's a matter of muscle.
And women aren't going to gain muscle all that quickly.
Yes, unless they really work out.
They're going to have to really train hard. And even then, they're not going to gain all that quickly.
So curious, why wouldn't women gain when men do?
This is a measure of hormone production. It's got to do primarily with testosterone, but it's a hormone issue. And the amount of testosterone you carry at any... Women produce testosterone, but not as much as men.
I see.
Young men produce more than older men.
Yes.
This is why we see muscle building tends to be a young man's
sport. I see. Yeah. Okay, so now, Doug, the next big area in your 80-10-10 book is fats. And judging from myself, I think that most of us are totally unaware of how much fat we're eating. And I know I've been a healthy vegetarian for 45 years, but it was only after reading your book that I realized I was eating an excess of fats in the form of nuts and seeds and avocados and olive oil. So meat eaters, they're also, I'm sure, eating an excess of fats. Can you talk about fats and what are fats all about?
Well, fats are certainly essential to our health. We must have them. And if I can backtrack for a moment, we touched several times now on a critical issue in nutrition, being the idea that more is better. Mm-hmm. And we skirted around it. More isn't better in the world of nutrition. We know, for instance, that carbohydrates are important, but if you ate a diet of nothing but carbohydrate, no vitamins, no minerals, no enzymes, you'd end up in serious trouble very quickly. In fact, carbohydrates without their associated nutrients are referred to as empty calories.
Yeah.
In the same way, fats without their associated nutrients are also considered empty calories. So although we've been sold the idea that the good olive oil or the good hemp or flax oils are somehow really nutritious for us, we've neglected the obvious fact that they are calories without associated nutrients. They are empty calories.
Olive oil?
Look on the label. Does it have any other nutrients besides fat?
That amazes me. I thought that good organic olive oil was great for you.
You said we're going to bust some myths. I'm not holding back. I'm not holding back.
No.
However, the thing that I like to stress, and we'll keep covering your questions, of course, but the thing I like to stress is that there's no hardship in being healthy. There's no hardship in eating sweet and juicy food at every meal, as much as you care for it every meal. There's no hardship in eating fresh food that's delicious.
Yeah.
It's simply a matter of choosing which food do you want to eat. Do you want to eat food that really makes you feel good, essentially loves you as much as you love it, or do you want to eat food that's going to lead you to diabetes, cancer, heart disease, digestive disorders, chronic fatigue, candida issues? You know, which way do you wish to go? The average American eats 40% of their calories from fat, but every study on the subject has come up recommending the same number range. Every study, whether it's been the World Health Organization or whether it's been T. Colin Campbell, whether it's been Pritikin or McDougall, it hasn't mattered. Framingham study, the longest study ever done on nutrition. Every time human dietary fat intake is quantified, they come up with the same range. They recommend for humans 3-9% of total calorie intake. We're not talking about infants. Obviously, mother's milk is 50% fat, and infants are designed to consume a higher amount of fat.
Mm-hmm.
But once we become adults, we are recommended to consume 3 to 9% of our calories from fat. When we exceed that, predictable health decline ensues. It's like smoking cigarettes. You don't die instantaneously, but predictable health decline ensues.
Amazing, isn't it? So what are the best fats that are filled with their nutrients?
Well, that's exactly it. As soon as we consume fats in foods rather than fats isolated from foods, we're already on the right track because we understand that whole foods are more nutritious than refined foods. Mm-hmm. Olive oil being a refined food and an empty calorie source at that can't be considered one of our really healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at whole, fresh, ripe, raw, organic fruits and vegetables. Some of these foods are inherently fatty, like the avocado,
mm-hmm.
or a seed or a nut. Some of them contain less fat, but we still think of them as fatty food. I mean, they don't call it butter lettuce because it doesn't remind us of butter.
Yeah.
You hold it in your hand and you can feel its oiliness. Its overall calorie content is relatively low. When we look at all the vegetables as a group, they are only average in the teens percent fat. And as a group, the fruits only average in single digits percent fat. They're the only food group that we can eat as whole, fresh, ripe, or organic plants that average in single-digit fat consumption. And so when people tell us that we're supposed to consume single-digit fat, and we look at what should we eat, and we go, oh, fruits and vegetables, they're healthy for us, they have single-digit fat.
Yes.
We sort of run out of food options after
yeah.
that. But again, we're looking at a choice of over 500 different fruits available in a typical grocery store in the course of an average year. We're looking at over 100 different vegetables in the grocery store in the course of an average year. If you were to try all of that, you'd be eating two different foods every single day, all year round, never having the same thing twice.
Mm. And so what you're saying is if we're eating our fruits and vegetables, we're automatically going to get our 3 to 9% of calories in fat.
Yes. In fact, if you eat a diet of nothing but fruits and vegetables without ever eating anything fatty, if you were to try to avoid all fats, which isn't necessary, but if you were to do so, you'd probably be averaging between 6 to 7% of your total calorie intake coming from fat.
Yeah.
Which is what is being recommended by health practitioners worldwide. And basically, we're thumbing our nose at the information.
Mm. And suffering.
And suffering accordingly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. So basically, meat eaters, then, they're getting their 40% fat from what? What are the foods they're eating that are giving them that fat?
Well, they're getting it basically from two places. The meat, most meats average 50 to 60% of their calories from fat.
Wow.
We like to think of them as protein, but most meats are in the 50s and 60s. Some are in the 70s percent of calories from fat. But we also invariably end up putting dairy on our meat sandwiches, or we put mayonnaise on our sandwiches, or we put butter on our sandwiches, or invariably we're putting high-fat sources on, the various
yeah.
spreads that go on with our meat. It's the beauty of the Atkins approach or the high fat approach is you can eat all the fat you want. There's just nothing to put it on.
All right, we'll be taking a break and coming back in a few moments.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. If you want to create positive change, call Chloe now at 866-472-5795. That toll-free number again is 866-472-5795. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
So I'm with Dr. Doug here talking about the 80-10-10 diet, pretty revolutionary. And we were talking about the fats, that we really only need 3 to 9% of our calories in fats, which we can actually get from fruits and greens, and that as meat eaters, we're probably eating 60 to 70% of our calories in fat, along with the dairy and the butter and all the other things that we do. Not to talk, of course, about French fries and cook all the stuff that we cook with olive oil and all our other oils. Yes, which must really put it up. So now, Dr. Doug, the third myth in the USA is that we need protein in capital letters. And in the USA, people eat more meat than anywhere else probably in the world, and yet we have one of the worst bills of health in the world. So clearly something isn't right. How much protein do we need, and what kinds of proteins, and why?
The math is so easy, Chloe, because the same researchers doing studies around the world, protein perhaps being the most universally studied nutrient, they've invariably come up with a range of recommended protein consumption for humans. It's important to understand that more is not better in the world of nutrition, that over 95% of all nutritional-related diseases in the country, and that, according to the medical profession, makes up almost 99% of all disease. So we're looking at 99-point-something% of all disease are called nutritional diseases of excess, not diseases of deficiency, but excess. So when I talk about a range of 3 to 9% for fat, it's really important that we get in that range. We're not looking for more. More isn't better. We're also not looking for a deficiency, but a deficiency of fat is relatively unknown.
And a deficiency of protein is unknown? Or you
a
said
deficiency
fat.
Of protein is protein. Equally unknown.
Uh-huh.
But again, the numbers suggest that what we're designed to consume is a diet where 3 to 9% of our calories come from protein. Mm. We're not that far off. In America, we average about 11.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 to 9 is what's recommended, mother's milk being 7%, and the fastest growth spurts in human lifespan happen while a child is eating mother's milk solely, mm-hmm. with only 7% of its calories from protein.
Mm-hmm.
And so that provides sufficient protein for growth. As adults, we're not growing so much. We probably need less. But 3 to 9 is the range that's given. Well, by the time we eat 3 to 9% of our calories from protein, 3 to 9 from fat, we're obviously in the 80-plus range for carbohydrates. Even with that math, people still turn around and say, yeah, but isn't that a lot of sugar? What kind of protein? Well, the best proteins are the simplest ones, the ones that are most easily broken down into amino acids, as found in fruits and vegetables.
So all proteins have to be broken down into amino acids.
They have to be broken down through a series of of strata from proteins, proteoles, polypeptides, dipeptides, eventually down to amino acids,
mm-hmm.
where they can be recombined in the liver to be used into or converted into structures needed by the human body. Mm-hmm. But all proteins are broken down into their component parts and then reassembled. We don't eat an eyeball and then use an eyeball.
And what you're saying then is that the protein in fruits and vegetables is the easiest one for the system to break down.
Absolutely. It's already in a an assimilable form.
Mm.
And so but all of the amino acids are there. They're just in a much simpler state than when we find them when we consume animals and have to break that protein down.
And why do researchers say that the only protein worse than meat is dairy?
Well, it depends on what they're looking at the time. But
the casein in dairy.
There are a great many factors in dairy that are not in meat itself, such as lactose and casein, and growth factors. The IG-1 growth factor, the strongest growth factor known to man. It's why bodybuilders will do what's called skin popping of milk right directly under their skin because of the growth factor that's in milk.
Mm-hmm.
These growth factors do support really rapid growth where, for instance, a calf can multiply its weight time and time again in its first year of life. It can multiply its weight 10, 15, 20 times, whereas a human child in the first year of life is really only designed to double or at most triple its weight in the first year of life.
Yes. So really, after that infant stage, milk should be off the list.
Well, we're the only animal that doesn't wean.
Mm-hmm.
Hm. All mammals wean once they get past childhood.
Yeah.
We not only don't wean, we don't wean off of other creatures.
Hmm.
If we were to think of lying down under a cow in order to suckle, we'd probably be disgusted. But if we say, okay, now let's take that cow's milk and let it ferment and go bad, let it curdle and rot, and then we're going to eat it as cheese, well, then we'll call it fresh cheese. And it's not fresh. It couldn't possibly have been.
Mm.
Any more than bread can be fresh. It can't be fresh. It has to be dried and stored. And you don't take wheat out of the field and turn it into fresh bread.
Yes. So now the Atkins diet has a lot of supporters, high protein to lose weight. And I have friends who have done it, and they've lost weight, and they seem to be fine with it. And what's your view on the Atkins diet?
Well, the Atkins diet is a relatively high fat, relatively high protein, low carbohydrate approach. And it's coined Atkins in this go round, but this is technically the fourth time around in the last 100 years that approach in weight loss has been popularized. Each time it came and each time it went for the same reason. People got ill. And people got hurt. Yes, some people will lose weight. Anytime you cut out one-third of your calorie intake, you will lose weight. People say, well, yes, but I can have all the meat I want. Well, yeah, you were doing that before. So there was no increase. What you did is just cut out the carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Anytime you cut out a major portion of your calorie intake, you're going to drop weight. That's to be expected. The problem is you're going to drop weight at the expense of your liver, at the expense of your kidneys, at the expense of your heart, and you're, as the expression goes, thumbing your nose at all of the health parameters for well-nourished and vibrant living by saying, okay, I'm going to leave the carbohydrates out. Carbohydrates are a primary source of fuel.
Mm.
In order to convert fat to fuel, to run our body, we generate what are known as ketones. Ketones have aberrant effect on our thinking process, much like alcohol. Mm. And so we're not doing our best job in the thought process department. Maybe that's why people stay on the. Maybe that's why people stay on the high fat, high protein approach, because their thinking has been affected adversely, and they don't realize, like, wait a minute, I'm killing my heart, liver, and kidneys just to get thin?
And ketones will do that.
Sure.
Ketones
will do the. They're not. It's not that the ketones are destroying heart, liver, and kidneys. It's that the ketones are having a negative effect on our ability to think.
Mm-hmm.
They affect our thinking very much like alcohol affects our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've had one drink, you almost can't tell that you've been affected.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's almost more scary than when you're falling down drunk.
Yes. Yeah.
You think you can drive, but you're impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't recommend that approach simply because I'm looking at nutrition as a source of fuel and nutrients for our body. Food becomes our nutrients. And the food, and again, back to that more is better concept, the food that is most nutritious is the food whose nutrient contents most closely mimic human nutritional needs. This is a mouthful, and it's so important I could spend the rest of the day right there.
Mm.
The most nutritious foods are the foods whose total nutrient makeup most closely mimics human nutritional needs. And so when we look at pure sugar, we don't say, oh, that's the most nutritious food. Or when we look at pure fat, that's not the most nutritious food. Those are empty calories.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at fruit, we go, oh, it's a health food. It's the most nutritious because it carries the range of all the nutrients in a formula that is most mimicking of human nutritional needs.
But a lot of people will say, well, the soils are depleted and the food is not organic and you need to have supplements and things like that.
Sure, you want to talk about that after the break?
Yes. All right. We'll take a little break.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the resonance repatterning system for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to resonancerepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to resonancerepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
Okay, so what is it then about denourished soils?
We know the topsoil's been damaged. We know that it's been depleted in many ways. This is part of why I rely so heavily on fruit, because fruit gets its nutrients from trees whose roots reach deep down into the soil and bring nutrients up. Fruit trees actually make nutritious topsoil. The animals that eat the grasses that grow in the topsoil, they're being malnourished and giving us food that isn't all that nourishing. Certainly organic is always better than any other option. Adding poison to my food is never the first direction that I'm going to try to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when we look at how these things play into diseases of all kinds, and it really doesn't matter which particular disease you wish to name.
Yeah. So cancer, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, you just say Lyme disease, you just say go raw.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I'm not even for a second going to look at food as being the answer to all our problems. Our health is as strong as its weakest link, and certainly food is a big issue for most Americans. We really do need to take a look at the way we eat.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say instead that healthful living has no contraindications. Your ability to heal is going to be based on your own vitality, and that is going to be determined by how much sleep you get, how much fresh air and sunshine, do you drink pure water or do you drink what's coming out of your tap, is your food denatured before you even consume it,
mm-hmm.
is it whole, fresh, ripe, raw, organic fruits and vegetables, how much of what's on your plate is whole food, how much is fresh, how much is ripe or raw. You know, if you can keep increasing the percentage of whole, fresh, ripe, raw, organic plants, you're heading in the right direction. You're heading towards 80-10-10.
Yeah.
And that is the key.
Now, so I noticed, though, you don't mention sprouted seeds. So something like a place like Hippocrates Institute is very much into the sprouting.
I don't have any gimmicks in my approach. It's simply a grocery store approach. I'm not against you sprouting. If you wish to be that kind of a gardener where you want to grow sprouts in your kitchen, that's certainly acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see them as super or special or better in any way than any other young, tender vegetables.
Yeah, even though when you sprout, vitamins and minerals tend to be doubled and things like that?
Doubled compared to what?
I suppose to the grain itself, to the seed.
Well, I'm not really recommending consuming any grains.
No. And very quickly, what about people who live in cold areas up in the mountains and they can't move to a warmer climate? How do they maintain their temperature? Because raw fresh food is definitely cooling. It tends to be, doesn't it?
I haven't found raw fresh food to be cooling, no. We're back to myths.
Uh-huh.
I think that people who live in the cooler climates need to eat well, even more than the people who live in climates that are friendly to humans.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just another lifestyle factor that they need to stack in their favor.
Yeah.
But I will say this. People who live in cold climates typically have really good clothing that keeps them warm.
Mm-hmm.
People who live in cold climates have heat for their homes and great bedding to keep them warm. They have clothing and bedding and heat in order to maintain their body temperature.
Yes.
Their houses are typically the same temperature in winter as they are in the summer. We don't eat outdoors in the winter because it's too cold, but
yeah.
We can go indoors where it's warm and be just fine. People in the middle of the hottest days of the summer are still eating hot food.
Yeah.
There is no rationale to think that on a cold day in winter when we go inside to our moderate room temperature that we shouldn't eat fresh food. I'm not talking about eating cold food straight from the fridge. But room temperature is 70-something,
mm-hmm.
and the body temperature is 90-something. It's not a huge difference in temperature. In fact, if you heat your food more than about 20 degrees above body temperature, it's too hot to eat. You have to let it cool back down.
Yes.
So there's not a huge difference between the cool of room temperature food and the warm of cooked food. That isn't what makes you warm. The thing that makes you warm when you eat cooked food is that it's so difficult to digest that your body starts working hard, just like when you exercise,
uh-huh.
and you get warm.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then just one final thing before we close here, supplements. People always say, deficient in vitamin B12, deficient in calcium, and many, many people take huge amounts of calcium, and yet we have the highest degree of osteoporosis in this country. Very quickly, can you mention something about that?
A bucket with a hole in it will never get full, no matter how much water you add.
Mm.
And when we're draining the body of calcium due to lifestyle infringement, you'll never pick up the calcium that you need to gain. We don't do the strength-demanding exercises that we should, and our bones get weaker because of it.
Mm.
We don't get sufficient vitamin D, and our bones get weaker because of it.
Mm.
We have 100 million American women on birth control pills, and birth control pills drain the calcium from your bones.
Mm.
Anytime you eat anytime you drink any cola-type drink, we're looking at a calcium to phosphorus ratio that's 60 times in the wrong direction. We're supposed to have two parts calcium to one part phosphorus in our body, and soft drinks are 1 to 30 in the wrong way. So it's 60 times off, and every coffee, every cola drains our calcium heavily. It's no wonder. I'm surprised we're not worse off than we are, in fact.
Yeah.
But supplements are never the answer. The answer is to correct the lifestyle, not to supplement it.
Yeah, yeah. Good answer.
Yes, in fact, thank you. In fact, when we look at eating poorly and then taking supplements versus eating well and not requiring supplements,
that's right.
I think it's pretty obvious which way to go.
Yeah. But
the onus of responsibility is on the individual. If you expect health to be your outcome, you have to start living healthfully. If you want to be fit at 80, it's time to start getting fit now. If you want to be healthy as a senior citizen, it's time to start living healthfully now. Health never attacked anybody.
And how old are you, Doug?
I'm just 55. I'm a kid still.
You're a kid still. And
sure.
You're completely healthy, I take it.
Well, I'm as healthy as anyone I know.
Yeah.
I'm always working on getting better at it. It's a joy to build my health. I think it's my birthright to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I didn't spend the first 25 years of my life healthy. I had to make lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And it was up to me to do so.
Yeah.
But the rewards have been so much more than worth it that it's no-brainer for me. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
I would never go back.
Yes.
Because it's better this way. I still get to eat all the foods I love. And they love me back. I explain all this on my website in clear, concise language that is common sense and good, solid science.
Yes, wonderful. Well, I'm very impressed by your book, 80-10-10 Diet, and thank you so much for generously sharing your knowledge, wisdom, and experience. And you've given such important information, and you can definitely, I really encourage people, go and get the 80-10-10 diet. It'll change your life. And you can contact Dr. Doug Graham for a consultation or to buy any of his books. And his maybe you can say your website one more time, Doug.
Sure. The website is Food and Sport. It's 10 letters. The word food, the letter N, the word sport. Foodandsport.com. The biggest FAQ on raw foods on the web. It's brilliant with articles, really filled with articles and free reading. You can get an education there that cannot be beat. We're not looking to take advantage of anyone. There's no consumables. There's no repeat products. There's strictly education. Everything is guaranteed. And we hope you'll come out to Food and Sport and say hello.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks so much. And just a final special message this month through December 24th, ResonanceRepatterning.net is offering a 10% discount on all North Pole magnets to increase your electromagnetic charge. The eye mask, which research has shown has been helpful for cataracts, glaucoma, and other eye problems. And, of course, as we've learned today, the main lifestyle change is diet is high on the list. The ceramic block magnet, which Dr. Philpott's medical research showed has helped in breast cancer, and local magnet, little magnet discs for local troubles, toothache, pain, and so on. We also use them on acupuncture points and gingin points. So you're welcome to visit our website for classes in resonance repatterning and for practitioners who can give you sessions for transforming the unconscious patterns that keep you stuck in old ways of being that aren't working for you anymore. And you're most welcome to read my book, Quantum Change Made Easy, which tells you all about resonance repatterning, the 9 keys that underlie all positive change. And next week, December the 10th, for a fascinating discussion with resonance repatterning practitioners, students, and teachers. Listen to what social workers, psychologists, and naturopaths are saying about their experiences with resonance repatterning. Hear about the wide range of results, from the resolution of panic attacks to physical disorders to depression, just with resonance repatterning. Find out what attracts clients, students, and teachers to delve into the system for creating positive change and extraordinary outcomes. Remember, the blueprint of everything is frequencies, coherent frequencies in the field, which then manifest in the way we think, the way we feel, and the positive actions we do that support the health of our body. Discover how resonance repatterning has changed families and allowed parents to connect with their children in profound ways. Thank you so much for being with us again, and we'll hope to be with you again next week. Thank you. And again, thank you so much, Dr. Doug Graham.
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network. Today,